Welcome to the Guitar Channel. I am super happy to welcome you a new incredible interview. I am with the one and only Mike Lewis from Fine Rizophonic. We are here in his workshop. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you, Pierre. Yeah. Nice to see you.
Yeah. You love the one and only part of the beginning of the interview?
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah.
Mike, you have to tell me everything. How did you start in this crazy business of building a resonator or a guitar?
Oh, long story.
Yeah, I
was a cabinet maker before. Mm-hmm. Before that, I was in making ladies' clothes.
Okay.
So when I was a cabinet maker, I played in a band, and you look at your Strat and you think, well, four screws and two pieces of wood.
Yeah.
So I did that a couple of times, but it was just for fun. Mm-hmm. And they weren't very good, to be honest. It's there you realise it's not just two pieces of wood with four screws.
Yeah.
Anyway, and just one day, my friend, who I met when I was 17, who had the first National, he kind of said, I wonder how this guitar could have worked. It was the wooden tricone again. Mm-hmm. So I came back here and I said, well, I'll make one. It's simple as that.
Okay.
So I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was lucky enough. I did have some old Nationals, so I could just copy them and just transform the metal to wood. And then when I did that, I thought, hey, this is cool. It's cheaper than buying Nationals, in actual fact.
Okay. Yeah?
I think I'll make myself a single cone. Mm-hmm. So I made myself a maple single cone. And then I went and showed my guitars to a guy called John Campbell. John Campbell. Do you ever heard of John Campbell?
Nope.
Ooh, check him out. Check him out. Yeah.
He's a musician?
Yeah, a musician American, yeah. And he wanted to buy one.
Okay.
I thought this was a bit strange, isn't it? So I said, yeah, I'll make you one, yeah. So when I made him one, yeah, after that, I just didn't want to look at furniture anymore.
Mm-hmm. So you basically switched from cabinet maker to guitar maker at one point in time. You said, okay, this is it. That's what I want to do for the rest of my life.
That was it, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I tried the two at the same time, but it was impossible, yeah? So just decided it's best to stop everything, just make guitars, try for a year and see what happens. If it didn't happen, I would have made furniture again.
Mm-hmm. And so we were at what time at the beginning?
Ooh.
Which year?
87.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I guess at that point there was no internet, so the source of information...
It was in the 90s, sorry. Yeah, in the 90s? Yeah, okay. 89, 90.
Yeah. So no internet anyway?
Yeah. No.
So what was the source of information you had? You had to hunt for some of the nice vintage guitars
I'd seen quite a few I didn't have a lot. I think I had one or two,
okay.
But that was enough. I understood them for some strange reason. I understand these things. I know I do. I don't know why, but
okay.
So when I started making them, and the things that I didn't know about, since in those days I played guitar, what I didn't know about when I picked up in my hands, I knew if it worked well or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had the idea that in my head, the old Nationals. Yeah. And the idea wasn't to copy a National when I first started. It was to make something as pleasing as a National.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just carried on from there.
Yeah. So let's pick one of the instruments you have here, which is one you build. So what's different between that instrument and, let's say, a standard National wood guitar?
Well, for one thing, the wood's far nicer, yeah.
Okay.
But the thing that I have done, because I like wood, so I'm a cabinet maker, I just like wood, yeah. So I took it a little bit further in choosing the woods that I'm making.
Okay.
You know, it's a pleasure for me to buy wood and work with nice wood like this, you know. I'm happy to do that. So that's what I've done, yeah. The only other thing I've done is what any luthier would do today with most pre-war guitars, I should think, but especially Nationals, yeah. They weren't easy things to play, yeah.
Mm.
They weren't always just in tonality, you know, the scale length wasn't right, there was no compensation and things.
Okay.
So all I've done is just made it a little bit lighter for a better, like a luthier today would. You know, say, well, what... And it's the guitar players as well today, they're asking more. It has to be, you know, if you put your finger on it, it has to sound like the note you're using. It doesn't, not a little bit sharp, it's not very good, is it? That's a little bit sharp.
It has to
doesn't matter. You know.
It has to be to play well, to be reliable and everything, yeah.
But that is basically the only thing I've changed, I think. Yeah. And afterwards, I guess I must have put a little bit of Fine Rizophonic in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but because I have a rule. I mean, it's not written down anywhere, but I have to like it. When I make it, I have to like it. If I don't like it, nobody sees it ever again.
What do you do with it? To destroy it?
Well, it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
That is the thing. Yeah. The only critique I could have, like, it has to. I have to like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That means I've done my best. So when I give it to somebody, and if he doesn't like it, all I can say is, well, look, I've done my best.
Okay.
It's no problem if you don't like it. Mm-hmm. It's not happened yet either. Mm-hmm. But okay. It is a way that I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me, how did you learn to build the cone? Because it is a very special technique. So I guess it was a lot of trial and error to build the cone.
A lot of trial and error. For one, I had to find out what spinning was. Or, you know, what is spinning? I didn't know what spinning was. Yeah, you know, you look it up in books, and then you see it, and then you look in the yellow pages, and you see there are spinners. So you go and see spinners, and they look at you a bit like, and you say, I want to spin it, but how do you do this? And they look at this thing and say, what do you do with that? Well, it makes music. Does it? Does it? Yeah. So, but I mean, they're all very nice, kind people, you know, and there've been people who've been doing it all their lives, maybe, you know, they knew a lot. Mm-hmm. And they started to teach me a bit, do this and that, and I'd come back here and do what they said. And, you know, the old story is I just made a lot of frisbees in the beginning.
Okay.
You know, but you have to do a lot before. But it's just like anything; you learn how to do it. It's not difficult. It's not like trying to learn to be an engineer or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just practice makes perfect.
Mm, yeah, right. Yeah, he says that it's kind of not difficult, but I saw him doing it, and we can see that there is definitely a lot of time, a lot of practice to be able have the right move and everything. Yeah. Mm. So, going back to this guitar, what kind of wood do you use there?
Well, this one's a Koa.
Okay.
Koa only comes from Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Simple. Comes from Hawaii, and flame maple, which comes from France, France. So,
okay,
and I like the mix of the two. I did with this one. I like the difference in between the two colors. I think it goes well together. And the maple just gives me a little brighter click to when I play the bottleneck with the Koa. Mm-hmm. But it's just a question of choice. It works just as well. Slightly different with a mahogany neck, and it looks fine with a mahogany neck too. So.
And the body, the top and the side and back is Koa on top of laminated wood.
Yeah, they're all
you
laminated.
Do by yourself, right? You have your secret recipe.
I make my own laminates because with the old Trollians and things, I had that in my head, and I just went out and bought laminates. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was it called? English laminates. Well, laminates, I think you'd find in any store, yeah?
Yeah.
And that didn't give the same sound as as what I'd been listening to. So I realised, in actual fact, even the laminates in the middle changes, yeah? So I started looking further into them, and the old ones that they were made of was popular and things like that. Mm-hmm. And funnily enough, popular is very musical.
Okay.
The romantic guitars that were made, which were with veneers as well, they were popular underneath.
Okay.
So, funnily enough, it's quite a musical piece of wood.
Mm-hmm. So, it does not make any sense to have a solid wood used for top and sides and back? No.
Not for me.
Not for me.
Not for me. Okay. Yeah, but I come from Nationals. I'm expecting them to sound like a National, not to sound... Somebody else could do one and be more than happy with it. It'd sound great, maybe, but not for me, you know. The only one that I think you can do on a solid wood is a Dobro with a spider bridge.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's because in the Dobro, you can't see it there, but if you open it out, in the Dobro there's a sound ring or there's not a sound ring, there's baffles or there's not baffles, there's pull props. You can do all this with it, which means that you're not blocking everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you use it all in solid wood and you put a sound ring in there, everything's going to crack all the way around it.
Okay.
For a start.
It's not going to be strong enough to hold the tension and everything.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but Dobros can sound really good out of solid wood. Mm-hmm. Nationals, I don't think they sound very good out of National.
Let's talk about this one. So what's different about this one? Is that the same case? No, it's not Koa, or is it?
No, that's flame maple.
Flame maple. Oh, very nice.
Flame maple, yeah. All flame maple.
Solid maple for the neck, and the same laminated, and exactly. Beautiful maple for the back and sides. Okay.
And that one's a 12 fret model. This is a 14 fret model.
Okay.
Which does change the sound. In wood, it's a little, doesn't change as much as in metal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can find both of them very agreeable, except the player today, if he wants to play with a capo, mm-hmm. obviously it's better with a 14 fret.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a choice of the player, okay. Much of fact.
What kind of a budget are we talking about for this kind of a beautiful instrument you built?
Ah, I mean, the exact price?
Yeah, well, roughly.
Yeah, roughly. Ballpark. For ballpark, for a maple, we're in $4,003. In Koa, we're Koa with this kind of wood on the maple, flame maple, like that, it's $5,000.
Oh, 500, it's much cheaper.
Yeah, no, okay. I put my price up quick.
If people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way? They give you a call, they come here, they go to your website, or...
Website, my website's awful.
I have to say your website is quite awful.
But anyway, anyway, they do contact me. I don't know if they contact me, but say, do you really make guitars?
Yeah. Because when I look at your website, well, you're not a website builder, so you are a guitar builder, so that's good.
Yeah. No, I haven't got an excuse.
And how long does it take to, if I want to order one of these beautiful instruments from you, how long does it take?
I should guess the quickest, about 9 months.
Okay.
It's variable, in mm-hmm. actual fact, yeah. Because I always have orders, and it's hard. You can get five people phoning up in the same week.
Mm-hmm.
So straight away, you add 5 months onto it.
Yeah.
Mm. If everybody was just careful and they all phone me up just once a month every now and again, it wouldn't take so long.
Mm.
You see what I mean?
One last question. Is there some young guitar builder coming in the trade to build this kind of guitar? Or is this becoming some kind of a lost art?
What's his name? Mark Tyson?
Jean-Marc Tyson, GMT, yeah.
He's just started, a couple of years, I think, yeah. And they're really nice guitars, yeah, honestly. Mm. You know, and that's, you know, he's got his own designs that he likes. He's be careful with that. And although it's a resonator guitar, I guess I'm still a luthier,
you know. Yeah, I think so.
So when I look at these guitars, I actually look at the way they're made.
Mm.
I don't say to people, I'm not going like, oh, well, have you seen that?
Mm.
But I have looked, and he makes them really well. You know, he does the fret work, the whole lot. It's really good, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm pleased that somebody else has come along with the same ideas as me, that resonating guitars are good for you.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
Mike is a very modest guitar builder, so he's not going to mention it, but I'm going to mention it in his hand name. You have a lot of famous customers, naming like people like Eric Clapton and people like that. So how did you sell a guitar to Eric Clapton? Tell us a story.
I just gave me some money.
Yeah. Okay. How did he get in touch with you?
I'll tell you the truth about that one.
Yeah.
You won't believe it, yeah. I knew that every year, if you like, I'd already contacted George Harrison before. And afterwards I thought, well, Clapton. But it's difficult. I didn't know where Clapton lived. Yeah, everybody knows where George Harrison lives. In England, everybody knows where George Harrison lives. Okay. Yeah, you know, you can just put George Harrison, it'll get there anyway.
Mm.
Yeah. And every year, Clapton used to spend at least a week at the Royal Albert.
Okay.
So I put a photo in there. Dear Mr. Clapton, because I wouldn't call him Eric, you know. Dear Mr. Clapton, I thought you might like to see my guitars. You know, that's all I put on it. You know. Eric Clapton, Royal Albert Hall. And the guitar tech phoned me up.
Okay.
Said, bring them.
Nice.
We'd like to see them.
And the rest is kind of history, right?
Yeah. I guess. Yeah, it's a good history, though, isn't it? Yeah, I'm very, very, very... Sometimes it's difficult to believe. Yeah, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Clapton.
Yeah. Mm.
Saw Clapton when he was with Cream. So it's really something when you sell a guitar to Clapton, believe.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. Any other interesting stories with a big musician like that? Stories you can tell, of course. Huh?
Don't know. Interesting stories.
Yeah.
I got a fax off George who said, thank you, Mike. For he kind of let her, I'm sorry I took so long writing back to you.
Okay.
I thought, this is all right. Yeah.
All right.
And while I'm reading it, the phone rings. Yeah. No, hello, yeah. And his voice says, hello, can I speak to Mike Lewis, please? It's George Harrison. And I tell you, man, I nearly wet myself. Do you get my tap facts? I kept myself together. I said, yes, George. But I mean, I think about it now that he knew what he was doing to me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's Monty Python, this guy, you know. I mean, he knew that I was going, ugh. It's a Beatle who's finding me.
Did you get to meet him eventually?
No, I didn't in the end, yeah. He's got one of my ukes, but I was supposed to go and meet him, and then he got ill.
Okay.
So. Mm.
Mike, it was great to be able to come here to your workshop. You told a lot of interesting stories during the French Chronicle we called it. So thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thanks for coming.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. It's always a pleasure for me to come to the natural habitat, you know, of the guitar builder, especially when we are surrounded by so many incredible guitars. So thank you very much for your time, Mike, and I wish you all the best for the ongoing adventure.
Thanks for coming. I appreciate it. You know, it's great that you took time to come and say hello.
Always a pleasure.
Okay, right.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.